Dog Hour. Captain Murray alongside. We'll take you to 3. Hand it up for buddy Phil Benatti's fine show behind the bench, as always, on a Thursday at Fashion Furniture. Another good friend, Ron Evadikian. Best furniture on the planet. Nothing like it in all of California. You hear commercials all the time. El Paso across from River Park, and you have an opportunity to jump in to the show in the Lee's Air Hotline at 559-320-1430, or stop on by in person, and you'll be able to talk directly to Phil, check out the furniture. Always some good eats when Phil's around, and so stop in at Fashion Furniture today. He'll be there until 5, and from there it'll be time for Josh Allen and the Bills playing host to the Dolphins. I'll tell you all about the schedule a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. It has been a great benefactor for Fresno State over the years and helping out once again at the Lyles College of Engineering on campus. We'll tell you more about Ed and his business and the schedule for both 1430 and 790 today and through the weekend a little bit later on. Jackson with me, as always, on a Thursday. He'll be heading off to the islands tomorrow, so we'll get to him and talk about Fresno State, Hawaii, and a few other things to Mark and to Benito and all the guys that have emailed in earlier in the week. Can't get to emails today. I will do the best I can, if not tomorrow, because I think Brian Panish will be with us tomorrow unless Brian is in transit to Hawaii. Brian has an advantage. He has a house in Maui, so it's easier for Brian and his private jet to fly over there. So we'll see if he's in L.A. or there. But if I have an opportunity to talk about your questions, I will. And Benito, thanks for your comment the other day. And Mark, I know you had some legitimate comments about the Pac-12. I'll get to those tomorrow if I can. If not, we'll do it next week. Anyway, Jackson with me in just a moment to begin the Bulldog conversation. But first, our other lead dogs want to spend some time with you. One, our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. They have been in the Central Valley since 1981. Terrific local people. See the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. Anything you need, give them a call, 825-5337, 825-LEES, or leesair.com for any central air, heating, plumbing, roofing needs. As far as the forecast goes, the rains are supposed to get here. It was supposed to be earlier this morning, the first band. Now, last I checked, it's supposed to be somewhere around nightfall, and then it's going to rain in pockets fairly hard throughout the valley. Still flood watches up in the foothills, and it should be on and off showers, maybe thunderstorms, and heavy pockets of rain tonight through tomorrow morning. So we'll see. But again, this storm is already pushed back a little bit time-wise. That's not unusual. It's coming up the coast from the south, and so we'll see how it plays out. But what we expected to have on the valley floor in the morning wasn't there. We'll see if it is by 6 or 7 o'clock tonight. If it is what it's supposed to be very careful out there, particularly if you're going to high school games beginning tonight, and then how the forecast rolls through tomorrow morning, early afternoon. It might be really, really wet and treacherous on the roads, so be careful. Anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time to tell you the weather, and I'll give you the 7-day temperature rundown with that backdrop right now. 85 today, 86 tomorrow, a 90 on Saturday, 92 Sunday, 93 Monday, then 89 and 91. So temperature-wise, it's pleasant, but again, you're going to have to watch out for the rain out there, and we'll see what's going on in that regard. And once more, the thunderstorms, the good news and the bad news. The good news of the rain is that it can help the wildfires. The bad news is twofold. One, the lightning strikes can create more fires, and the other, more immediate problem, certain agricultural entities, certain crops, do not want to see moisture right now. So I hope this works out for everybody over the weekend. Anyway, thanks, Lee's, for allowing us the time. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, Lee's. All right, the other reminders, one from our friend Joe Cruz, his great business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, celebrating their 25th anniversary in town, 4529 North Marty Avenue in town, Suite 103. Give a call at 266-7473, 266-PIPE for more information, or go to the web at superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. It's a great local business specializing in pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food grade, chemical hoses, everything in-house there. And again, if you're someone working around a valve, meaning you're in a plant, if you're a maintenance person, if you're a tanker delivery person, if you're around the boiler service, anybody from an industrial standpoint that relies upon a valve, you're well aware if your valve goes down, your business goes down. And not only does Joe have great components for you there, but he has got a family-friendly same-day service that he can give to you if you just stop by or give him a call. And what he'll do, listen to your problem, analyze it, and see what he can do to take care of it in a big, big hurry. And the same day will enable you to stay up and running before it becomes catastrophic. Also, if you have some time when you stop in, because Joe has been a longtime booster at Fresno State, he will tell you what he does for the university and what he'd like to see you do. In this case, it's head to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link there. Click on that. Take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org is there, Myers Champion Circle. Information for tickets and parking for all events on campus. And then finally, under ways to give, the individual sports clubs, for instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtick normally with me every week to talk basketball, and the board of directors timeout club. Right now, the Giants have preempted Jack, but we'll get back to visit next week. But Jack has said he'd love to see more members. Give him a call directly, 559-287-3305, or FurtickJack@AOL.com if you want to go through the email. There are links to other sports there as well. For instance, Dugout Club for baseball and other men's and women's sports under ways to give. And then we always bring up the critically important Bulldog Bread Collective. The NIL monies, Marcus McMarion took over for Chris, who started at the station. Marcus wants to hear from you. Any donation, big or small, any sponsorship idea, bulldogbread.com, bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. If you stop by Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, tell Joe thanks for being a great booster at Fresno State now for over three decades. And the final reminder, speaking of people that are helping out with NIL and everything for the collective, we always want to thank our friends at the local KFCs in Fresno, in Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. This international and national company has the local franchisees in those four cities helping out with Fresno State through the Bulldog Bread Collective. And again, we thank all of them what they're able to do for Fresno State, and would remind you right now about how great the deals are. Talk about this all the time. You have your Tuesday $10 eight-piece bucket deal that's always there. You have the country fried steak for $5.99 on Wednesdays, and now you have other special deals going on. The hot and spicy wings and potato wedges are back for a limited time. It's the ultimate fan favorite. Everybody loves it, and it's so great to have it back, but it's not going to be here forever. So stop by those local KFCs to pick up your hot and spicy wings and potato wedges. And also, when you're there, keep in mind the great KFC chicken sandwich, still just $3.99 at this point for a limited time. That's part of the deal that they have going on, in where everybody else is costing more and giving you less. KFC is giving you all of this and then some for $3.99. So stop by the local operators in Fresno, in Clovis, in Selma, in Kerman. Pick up buckets of chicken, pick up the sandwiches, the wings, the wedges, and tell them thank you very much for being part of the solution at Fresno State, the same way Joe Cruz has stepped forward, Ed Dunkel has stepped forward. We really appreciate it, and it's going to take that kind of community effort, because already the stakes are being upped as the Bulldogs head to the Pac-12, and we know other schools in the conference to come are getting pretty good monies from the state or from other benefactors around their particular schools. Anyway, thanks to everybody at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, and our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And again, remind you that the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. That is how you can reach Phil during his show, and how we bring up guests like our de facto co-host, Sir Jackson Moore, who's ready to go right now. Jackson, how are you?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, Jackson. It's been an interesting 24 or 48 hours. I'll tell you about it off air at some point. And it doesn't mean I need you to, you know, get ready to have the extra room ready for me. It's not that. That's not what I talked about. That's always part of the proposition. Listen, I want to talk to you, obviously, about Fresno State, Hawaii, the TV opportunity. You and I have gone over this a lot. One thing before we get started, though, and I want to mention this because a long time and great friend of mine has suffered a loss, and someone that I went to school with at Fresno State is no longer with us. And so I want to acknowledge this, that Janet Stoll-Lee, who I went to Fresno State with, top-flight person, top-flight journalist, anchor at Channel 26 for many years, also on the radio. And Janet passed away far, far too young, in her mid-60s, and everybody at Channel 26 I know is in mourning about it, and everybody who knew Janet understands what a great person she was and what a great, great journalist she was. And I'll tell you, when I started at Fresno State, as an undergraduate, I never saw anybody more organized, knowing exactly what she wanted, than Janet Stoll. And, of course, now Janet Stoll-Lee. And so my condolences to the entire family, and in particular to my longtime friend Jerry Lee, her husband. And Jerry and I worked together on KFRE when 9:40 a.m. was KFRE. That's how long ago. And Jerry, one of my favorite satellite dish head buddies. He's another one of the dish heads out there from the 80s, and I spent a lot of time with Jerry, and so my condolences to Jerry, the entire family, and to anybody who knew Janet or watched her on TV or listened to her on radio. It's a tremendous loss, and we wish everybody there all the best, and our thoughts and prayers are with them, of course. All right, it's never an easy transition back to what, as we've talked before, Jackson, is kind of the toy department, but it's not the toy department for us. And in all honesty, with big business around sports now, I'm not so sure that that's a designation that's particularly fair anymore. That having been said, we will head back to the world of sports right now. Want to get started, first of all, with the transfer portal situation taking away the spring. How do you feel about this? What is the impact for Fresno State?
Yeah, the spring window was kind of a tough one to evaluate, just because I think there was a lot of positives in terms of, you know, you could take your team into the spring and have position battles, and the guys that were maybe third team or beyond, you know, you could kind of have that talk, and they probably know already, and they could try to find a new location before the 2020 or the upcoming season to try to play somewhere else. But at the same time, you had the risk of players getting poached at that same window, guys that outperformed maybe what you thought in the spring. The word gets out, and other teams start coming from them, and you've got a lot of tampering. So, I mean, it's definitely good to eliminate that part of it. But I think you're also going to have a lot of players who, in this one portal window in the winter now, are going to have to kind of project themselves. Where do they think that they can compete in the upcoming spring, or are they going to be at risk of being one of those guys that are left off with no option to get out? So a lot of players are going to have to really have some foresight in early January to decide whether they think that they are in a position to play or if they need to go somewhere else ahead of time. And it sounds like they're going to have that window in early January as well, exclusively. So hopefully that cuts down on some of the bowl season issues that we've been seeing the last couple of years, where so many players are bailing out early. I think you're still going to have some of that unofficially, but no one can officially enter the portal till after that season. So, you know, there's certainly some pros with this, but you know, there could also be some unintended consequences. I think the biggest thing for coaches is just, I mean, this whole transfer portal window deal is very hectic, and to have two of them has been twice as hectic. So I think programs around are rejoicing that they only have to do this once, and we'll see if it's necessarily a good or bad thing for the student athletes as it plays out.
Are we getting better at this as a group, meaning the NCAA, the Congress, some of the things that we've heard might come out, and individual schools? Are we getting better in getting a handle on this, or is it's still just the Wild West, period?
To a degree, the last couple of years, it's been such a moving target. Things have escalated and changed so quickly year after year, and the markets with all this NIL value has been changing so quickly, and it's been hard to catch up and keep up. So this on paper looks like probably a positive move for the state of college football, but it also may need to be tweaked again within a year or two as we start to kind of settle on the landings on how all this is going to work. I think this window in particular should help, again, with the issues of postseason play that has been impacted by the transfer portal. Especially, it just makes no sense at all to have this big playoff and have players bailing on their teams to hit the portal during that time. So at least for a round or two, we don't have to worry about that anymore. I think they're getting this is a step in the right direction as far as team continuity and in-season issues, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if they have to revisit this in a year or two and adjust to what's going on with everything that they didn't intend to see.
You and I have talked so often, Jackson, it's still relevant, obviously, because the conversation goes on across the country, and justifiably so, about the haves and the have-nots. But in particular, one of the things for a lot of us that drew us to college sport to begin with, and in particular, as salaries escalated exponentially in the professional sports world, was that the collegiate game, by and large, and we knew there was always going to be, you know, the old NASCAR line, right, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. You knew you were going to have those outliers. But it was just that, a bunch of cheaters, okay? In other words, you know, if you were caught, you could say, well, everybody was doing it. Well, no, not everybody was doing it, and more particularly if you were caught, like, schools were in the old Southwest Conference, you not only, you know, saw schools get in trouble, you saw a conference disappear because of it, right? And as I've talked to Fertig over and over again, the conversations, if they were taking place in the back room at some restaurant or, you know, bar or whatever, right? It was not there for the mainstream. So you always felt like if someone got caught, there would be huge repercussion, and that the college game, by and large, though we knew guys maybe were not chasing a degree the way we would like them to, that the college game had this feeling that you're a little bit closer to the players than you are in the professional world. I know the late, great Joe Garagiola, who was a good enough player for the Cardinals, but more particularly a longtime broadcaster, he said that one of the reasons that baseball, when he played, was so close to the fans is because after you played, Jackson, you got on the same subway and rode home with them, okay? And if you're bagging groceries in the off season or running a hardware store, it's not hard for people to relate to you since you might live on the same street. You just happen to play ball. Well, professionally, you know what's happened now, right? Everybody's in their mansions, what have you. We never thought, at least I did not think, we would get to the point collegiately that we would have this enormous separation between not just the public and the players collegiately, but the players on a team between themselves and their teammates. And I'm just wondering, when we talk about all this stuff and transfer portal and NIL and everything that's going on out there right now, have we gotten so damn far from shore that when guys now are making millions of dollars at the collegiate level, that you have lost the ability for a lot of people to relate to the sport itself, talking about collegiately, any sport?
It's kind of been interesting at practice this week. You've got some players that have been here for a while that know this Hawaii rivalry, and there's a lot of energy, and they want payback from last year. And then you've got another 50 players and a bunch of coaches who have never been around this rivalry before. I don't know if they even kind of grasped the history and everything, like getting ready for everything to expect on the Hawaiian Islands. But, you know, that's just a much different feeling than years past, where so many players, almost the whole roster outside of freshmen, would be ready. I think from a fan to player to teammate, you know, all the relationships that feel like they're fractured, I really feel like it's kind of a case-by-case basis. I think New Mexico is a really good case study where in December, the fans that they do have were probably about done with college football after they had finally had a halfway season, and Bronco Mendenhall leaves right after 1 year. You know, the ones that have been hanging on, I'm sure, were about ready to jump ship. And, 9 months later, 75 new players on their roster and a new head coach. I'm sure those fans are as happy as ever coming off of that UCLA win. I don't know what was it, moment in Louisville football history in the last decade or so stacks up to that. So I think at the end of the day, you know, if you're still, as long as you cross the threshold of being invested, it really comes down to, I think, whether those new players give you something to celebrate or not. You look at Nevada as another study. You've got their head coach, Jeff Choate, who went on a big old rant this week about how they've got 60 new players and it's going to take them half a season or so to figure things out. And, I think in general, my observation has just been that it does feel like the gap between Power Four and Group of Five for most cases is about as wide as ever. And you know, Fresno State, Kansas feels like a good example. That's just a program you always thought the Bulldogs would beat or at least be neck and neck with over the last 10, 15 years or so. And that certainly wasn't the case that we saw. But you know, there's a lot of different dimensions to it. And I think, again, it just comes down to as long as the fans are still caring, whether it's benefiting their school or not. And right now, Fresno State, we kind of feared this would be the year where it might be a turning point where all the continuity Fresno State's had might fracture and this might be a rebuilding year. But we're seeing Coach Matt Entz is really keeping the thing afloat, and they're in a good spot heading into conference play right now.
Well, and that's the reason I ask is this. Talking about the transfer portal and when you can leave or not, that we had always talked before, even when transfer portal first started, before the NIL money became so overwhelming, we talked about this freedom of movement and players at schools that they were not going to be competing for the national championship, that you'd have guys hesitant, right, to play in a bowl game or what have you, or even finish a season, we saw that, because they realized the amount of money that was out there for them. And so it was only going to be, at the time, somebody out there for them in the professional league. It was going to be, yeah, if you were playing in a bowl game of great import, you would certainly play, right? Remember that? But if it were lesser, you wouldn't play. Now we have seen guys, as you referenced, because the money is not only there professionally, it's there collegiately. You've got guys that are holding their own team hostage during the year, even if they're going to make the Final 12. And my issue with it, and your point is well taken, individual schools, if you want something that's going to have a national scope, you've got to have more interest across the country than just everybody worried only about their own school, because if that's the case, then you're fragmented. It's like a professional league where in the markets that you're in, people care, but nationally they don't. You know, will it play in Dubuque, right? That's always the question. And what I'm wondering about, Jackson, is that if we've reached a point here. I'll use the Warriors as an example. Right now the Warriors are being held captive by Jonathan Kuminga because of how the contract negotiations have gone, and he wants this, and he's not going to sign that, but they don't want him to sign a minimum deal because then they don't have the ability to put that in the slotting for the cap, and it becomes this mess where you've got a team that hasn't signed a single player and has about half their roster still open because a guy has a deadline of October 1st, even though the season starts a few weeks after, and he is going to play a game of high-stakes chicken with the organization. You're used to that happening at the professional level. Is it happening collegiately now, Jackson? Have we reached the point where you've got guys that are going to withhold their services unless they get what they want from their school? I mean, we've seen guys threaten. We saw it happen down in Miami, right? If I don't get my money as the leading scorer in the ACC in basketball, I'm either going to this school or that school, or I'm going in the NBA. Where are we at with that, with someone who is making money at a school but is absolutely saying to everybody, you know what, I may not play in the postseason, and if I don't get the money I want, I'm out of here. What does that say to the rest of your team collegially when a lot of the guys aren't making very much dough, if any?
Yeah, we're seeing it with the quarterback situations between Tennessee and UCLA as well, how that's playing out this year after some drama in the off season. I think mostly from what I've gathered, I think a lot of schools have dealt with maybe two or three or four of those types of guys on their roster in the last couple of years. And I think that's just going to become more widespread as more and more players expect more and more financial gain out of all this. And it's especially, you know, getting a taste of what's going on at the top of college football covering this Oregon recruiting beat now. You're seeing how much NIL is impacting recruiting processes, and you know, they're trying to streamline it a little bit and sign contracts ahead of time and get everything situated so they're not going to lose players or flips long term. The players moving from one school to the other before signing day, so there's a lot of that built in. I think as far as players maybe withholding services within a season, I think that bowl game and this upcoming move to a January window could be a factor, because in the years past, we've just seen players say, I'm not playing in the bowl game, I'm going to stay healthy, right, and enter the transfer portal. Now the transfer portal is going to be after the bowl games, but I think you'll still have players say, even though the window's not open, that they intend to enter the portal and they won't play. Or maybe some players that are on the fence that might come back or might not come back next year will use that as a bit of leverage. They're going to say, am I secure next year? Am I going to get X amount of dollars? Okay, I'll play in the bowl game. Or if not, then I'm going to not play and keep my options open for the portal. So it should cut down the number some as far as so many player absences we've seen, but you're going to have a lot of that going on behind the scenes in December.
It just makes it difficult. Right? That's all there is to it. And I understand everybody has the right to make a living. It's just very, very difficult for me still to stomach this right now. I hope this isn't just an eyedropper. This spring thing isn't just an eyedropper in an ocean of discontent, right? And, you know, an eyedropper of solution in an ocean of discontent, and more of a PR move to try to show the public we're trying to do something, and it's legitimately something they believe will work and help, because I have my doubts about it. All right, that having been said, the game itself, Jackson, very important, as we've talked, particularly when we broke out of divisions. And again, this is the last year of this setup, but certainly we're not going to be in divisional setup in the Pac, because only going to be eight teams, at least initially, it looks like that. So it's going to be probably more of the same of the top two. How tough is it going to be if you lose a game you're supposed to win? And this is one I consider the Bulldogs, I believe anyway, in that category of should be winners. Now, I may be wrong. How tough is it if one gets away here early in this kind of conference right now?
It's going to be very tough, just because you look at the schedule, you say the Bulldogs can win all eight conference games. They're capable of it. You know, they might be favored in seven or so, especially if they keep winning at this point. And I think the biggest challenge is just doing it consecutively. I think that's just the biggest part of college football that we see. It's so challenging. It's more acceptable now not to go undefeated since you can get to the playoff without being ranked.
Right.
It's just so rare. You have to be so elite to win, you know, your 8 to 12 games in a row. And we're seeing teams that are going to be on the Bulldogs' schedule going to Boise. If you lose this first game against Hawaii, you know, not only to win seven in a row, but to get that one at Boise State, to beat a Utah State team at home that's looking pretty good right now, a few more teams that are going to be certainly competitive and competent when they're on the schedule. It's just going to be difficult to win all seven in a row. And then even if you do win, there's still an outside chance that you don't get into the championship game. So you got to be as perfect as possible, and you got to win as many of these games as possible that you're favored in. And they're only slight favorites against Hawaii, but it's one they got to get, especially being game number one. You just don't want to be having your backs against the wall for seven games in a row right out of the gates in conference play.
Talking the other day with Matt Norville about the fact that prior to 2005, Fresno State just couldn't win on the islands, and the Rainbow Warriors couldn't win here. And then beginning in 2005, the Bulldogs went to that stretch, as you know, where they won in Hawaii year after year after year. Nice streak. They lost some games at home to Hawaii they didn't expect. But then for the last four meetings, Bulldogs have lost three of four. I don't know if the island malaise hits them or not. They've lost games at home as well as there. But when you look just on the field right now, what do you say about this matchup? Where are we at? First of all, the health of Fresno State. I know the first injury report for the Mountain West came out. And where do the Bulldogs have the advantage and the disadvantage against the Rainbow Warriors?
Yeah, the Bulldogs, the injury report came out. There's not a ton of surprises there. They've been mostly transparent with a lot of that stuff. Akwin Asiata, defensive lineman, is going to be out for the year, it says. That's one we didn't know it was that severe. But otherwise, you know, they're still waiting to see if Josiah Freeman's going to be good to go. Jaleel McClain went down last weekend. So a couple of receivers where that unit could be pretty thin this week if they don't get guys back in time. And I don't think they need a particularly deep receiver unit to run this offense, but it would certainly be nice to have Josiah Freeman out there. I think both these teams have a pretty similar resume. They're both 3-1. They both had a tight win. They both had a blowout loss. So they both had two lopsided wins. So it's been pretty fairly resume-wise, even between the teams. I think I would like to say Fresno State has a slight talent advantage across the board, but then you look at the matchups, and you know, this is a Hawaii team where if they bust a big touchdown through the air early, and there are a couple of them, you know, Fresno State's key goal in this game is just not to fall behind early. It's one where, you know, if the Rainbow Warriors execute what they do best, it could be trouble for the Bulldogs. And it's also one where Fresno State can just limit that run-and-shoot offense. They might be able to grind Hawaii away through the trenches in the running game and get out of there with a win that would be less exciting than the one that UH could provide if they're throwing the ball all around the place. So it's an intriguing matchup because you can see both teams have the opportunity to overpower the other in a very different ways, but you just don't know exactly how it's going to play out, and how a big play might swing things either way in the first 20 minutes or so could be critical to how the rest of the game plays out.
Well, leaving the Kansas game aside for the moment, and I've had to do it with being the first game of the year, obviously, and the fact that Kansas did have a substantial advantage in depth, and we saw that, and the Bulldog lines did have a problem. We've seen the Bulldogs now play according to the form that Matt Ench used for great success to win national titles at FCS. You and I both know, Jackson, that the two things that are axiomatic, because they're true, and that is running game and defense both travel. And what I mean is, and we talked about the schedule, ideally you'd like to have the problematic games in conference at home so you have that advantage, and the games that you have a reasonable chance to win anyway on the road. You don't want it the other way around. You don't want teams you would probably beat on the road on your home schedule, and teams that you really need that home field advantage happening to be those that you have to play on the road. This is one of those games where, for why we're coming here, despite what happened last year, where guys in stripes may have won it more than the Rainbow Warriors did, although the Bulldogs helped out themselves. You've got a situation, Jackson, where I believe that if Fresno State does have the running game and the defense traveling, the fact that they're going to the islands will not be a major detriment. Do you feel that way yourself, that the way this team is structured, just because you're going to the islands, should not be a major determinant in this?
I believe so. I think probably just the biggest challenge is keeping everyone focused, the long flight, the unusual situation being over there and having all that extra time. And they're going to go check out Pearl Harbor. And then Coach Ench said he didn't want the team to be trapped in the hotel the whole time while they're there. But there's just a lot to get distracted by. And then the stadium itself, you know, it's not going to be a hostile environment in terms of volume because the stadium only sits about 15,000 right now. So that in itself can be a challenge sometimes if the atmosphere is not overly high for a team that's, every place the Bulldogs have been so far has had a lot more fans than that between their own stadium and the road games. So, I know there's a lot of challenges, and I thought Coach Ench, he handled them very well on Monday with what the Bulldogs have planned to do all week long. I think the approach they're taking should mitigate a lot of the issues that could trip this team up. At the same time, you know, Hawaii's got some talent, and they've got clashing styles that could go either way in this one. So, I don't foresee the Bulldogs losing because of the intangibles. I think either team has a case that their style of play could win against the other, and the kind of the players and personnel they need to run it, especially with Hawaii getting their quarterback, Micah Hato back, there's a chance that their offense is going to look a bit more potent than they have the last couple of weeks too, even in some wins.
Well, if the Bulldogs can run it, and again, occupy the football enough that that time of possession, which sometimes, as you and I have talked, can be illusory, because if you score quickly, the other team gets more possessions and they may spend more time on the field, but you can beat them easily if you're putting it in the end zone. Conversely, there are times that it's critically important. In this case, you and I both know not only does the running game then protect Fresno State by keeping the football, it, as we've seen with a lot of teams that like to throw it, it frustrates the other team because they're not used to having just a few possessions and they have a tendency to force it when they're out there. So that's why I'm saying that defense and the running game travel. If you can play D and run the football, you can win anywhere. And I think that that will not be the issue. If the Bulldogs lose, like you said, it's because they get out-executed very quickly. Any other names for Hawaii people need to look out for?
Well, I like their quarterback a lot, Mike Alejado. He played in their last game last season and went for like 500 yards. So they figured out who their starter was going to be with last year's season finale. So that was a little interesting situation. But he's also got two preseason All-Mountain West receivers to throw to. Now, one of them's questionable in this game, so if Nick Sinical is out there, that's an issue for Fresno State. Pofele Ashlock is their top target. He's got 26 catches for 235 yards and 3 touchdowns this season. So he is the guy that's going to be trouble. And fortunately, the Bulldogs have Auxilian Hamilton. It should be a good matchup, but it gets tougher if they've got two of those guys out there. And Landon Sims is kind of a sneaky running back. He's a big athlete. He's like 6'2", 200-plus, and runs pretty physical when they do decide to run it. So you know, they've got the weapons to run this offense, and defensively, they've been probably more solid as a team than past Hawaii teams have been. They haven't been overly great stopping the run, I would say, but they're better than usual. And Peter Manuma at safety is the guy to watch out for. He's a hard hitter, and Jamai Otis at linebacker is the guy that will come into the box and be an issue for the Bulldogs to deal with. They also picked up Bijan Benton, the D lineman from New Mexico, through the portal, so they've got some headliners, maybe not the depth, and they are dealing with some injuries right now too, beyond missing their quarterback last week in Cynical. There's some other guys in the front seven that they've been missing, so a chance for Fresno State to take advantage of some other spots.
And for the Bulldogs, the five horsemen that are the running backs of this team, all ready to go for Fresno State, is that right?
Yeah, they should be. As far as I know, that none of them are on the injury report. We've been, Bryson Donaldson didn't quite look himself against Oregon State,
right. And
he didn't need to touch the ball as much as we've seen him last weekend. So that's just the one thing. We just don't know if he's going to get 20 plus touches if they need him to, if he's that guy right now, or if they're going to divvy out the load between Luke and the others.
Well, a critically important game, 9 o'clock our time, 6 o'clock in the islands on Saturday, and then that swerves into the final question and something you and I addressed earlier in the week. Jackson, the way things get set up, and I'll try tomorrow if I have time after I talk with Panish to explain geo-blocking to people, which is just fascinating. But the way it's set up, it is not easy to get to the game. You can't really do it through a laptop. You can do it through your phone. It's designed to keep certain people away from the game in the islands. It's a really a complicated situation. The easiest solution is availability of Spectrum Sportsnet, as we've talked before, the full-time Laker channel 691 on DirecTV is open because the Lakers aren't playing. That's where you see a lot of high school stuff and whatever in the off seasons. The Dodgers are over on 690. By the way, the Giants start tonight there. I'll talk about the schedule. Clayton Kershaw announced his retirement, so this start tomorrow for Kershaw will be evidently the last time in the regular season that you're going to see Kershaw pitching against the Giants. We'll see what happens beyond that. But, Jackson, what about the best way to go about watching this game right now? If you don't have DirecTV or another dish or whatever, what is the best option that you can give to people?
Yeah, if you have a mobile device and you download the Mountain West app, you'll be able to watch it for free there. In some ways, it's the most easily accessible game that the Bulldogs will have since it's free. But at the same time, I know a lot of people would not necessarily want to watch a game on their phone or their tablet, which also makes it the most difficult game to watch in another sense. But if you have the Mountain West app, you can watch this game for free as long as you're on the mainland, which should be just about everybody that's in the middle of this. So worst case scenario, that's where you'll want to check in and watch this one.
Well, and the good news is as long as you're in the mainland, which is who we're referring to right now anyway, is that you can, on your phone, cast it onto your big-screen TV set. It may not look the same way it would look if you pulled it through, for instance, DirecTV, what have you, but it will still be something where you don't have to have the family gathered around your phone. All right? That's all I can tell you. It is very unfortunate that we couldn't have somebody locally pick up the Hawaii feed, which has happened in the past, be the Hawaii announcers, but that doesn't matter. You're going to listen to the Hawaii announcers anyway if you're watching the telecast, you know, unless you're turning down the sound and dealing with the delay. But I'm just saying that it's unfortunate a game of this import slipped through the cracks, but that's what happened. Jackson, I appreciate it. I know you're heading on out. I'll talk to you next Tuesday. What's going on the board right now, specials-wise?
That's currently $1 for your first month to try out VIP or 30% off the year to get in for the whole season and beyond. And I have a lot of coverage coming from practice this week and previews of this game and breakdowns. So I hope people head to barkboard.com and give it a shot.
Well, I hope people do that. It's well worth the money. Appreciate it, my friend. Have a very safe and successful trip to the islands, and I will talk to you starting next week. Take care, Paizan. See you.
All right. You too, Tony. Thank you.
All right. Our de facto co-host, Jackson Moore, barkboard.com. Take a break. Tell you about the schedule when we come back and hand it off to Phil, his outstanding show Behind the Bench for 2 hours with Rod Avedik and everybody at Fashion Furniture Today. Then it's time for week number 3 of the National Football League. Take a break. Bulldog Hour continues on this Thursday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back to 51. About 5 minutes ago on the show, hand it off to Phil, his great show Behind the Bench, as always on a Thursday at Fashion Furniture with our good friend and great booster for Fresno State and the entirety of athletics across the valley for many years, and that's Rod Avedikian at Fashion Furniture. And stop on by, take a look at the great furniture, nothing like it in all of California, and talk to Phil directly if you'd like, or you can call him on the Lear's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. He will be at Fashion Furniture 3 to 5 today. Then it will be time for the National Football League Week 3 as Josh Allen and the Bills host the Dolphins. They'll kick that off about 5:15, and again, it's the start of a very busy football weekend for us because we have the Raider game, the 49er game, the Ram game, as always, the Rams in Philly, 49ers home against the Colts. That was the great matchup that the Rams should have probably won that game and kept Philly out of the Super Bowl. The 49ers have the undefeated Cardinals in, so 2-0 teams. And the Raiders are on the road at Washington, at D.C., and we'll have those games between 7:90 and 14:30, and always the national games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. And keep in mind, Monday, Major Wager Monday, as always, Granite Park, me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota, get there by 5, Carter and the gang there, great time, the great food, the giveaways, and the big screen TVs and everything you need to watch Monday Night Football. Again, tell you all about the schedule right now for today and tomorrow as well, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business, Precision Civil Engineering, Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500 for more information, or precisioneng.net. Ed has been a great benefactor for his alma mater, Fresno State, and in particular, the Lyles College of Engineering, with their fundraising efforts that enable the Lyles College of Engineering to unify athletics and academics to provide the funding resources that students need. And we commend Ed for everything he and his business does. And a lot of those graduates from Lyles College of Engineering come to work for Ed at Precision Civil Engineering. Again, as far as the rest of the schedule goes, Phil normally 3 to 6 Monday through Friday, as you just mentioned, on a Thursday at Fashion Furniture, so check that out. Also, give him a call on the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430, or ask him a question in person there at Fashion Furniture. Paul Metters, who's with Phil to call football on Fridays, high school games, and Pat Hill, when the Bulldogs are at home, is there as well. Now, exception this weekend, of course, because Fresno State is on the road and you've got the game in Visalia. So it'll be Phil and Paul tomorrow in Visalia. Hanford and Redwood, they're in Visalia, 7 o'clock, the pre, and 7:30, the kick for our Friday Night Lights game. But Paul Metters, not only there to work with Phil on the broadcast, he has two outstanding shows that run on a weekly basis. On our sister station, the Deuce 790, you have got the Sunbird Sports Show 6 to 7 on Wednesdays, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics. Check that out. And then on Saturday mornings on 1430, the long-running show, Central Valley Sports Report, live from First String Sports. So stop on by at some point if you can and say hello to Paul as well, and bump into him if you can at a ball game or two and tell him you enjoy all the work they do at the station for both the colleges and the high schools. We are with you normally at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number one, at att.net. Everything for the station, 1430 ESPNFresno.com. You find the live links and the podcast there. Always mention the critically important Bulldog Bread Collective there. Marcus McMurrian wants to hear from you. Any sponsorship idea, any donation, big or small, contact Marcus, bulldogbread.com. And remind you, in addition to the local shows, in addition to all the high school coverage through football, basketball, and baseball, and the NBA, the Lakers coming up, and the finals through NBA's ESPN radio contract, the World Series, right through the final game, no matter the Giants, A's involved. Of course, the A's will not be. We'll see what the Giants, who might have saved their season yesterday, might have. The Mets have already won today, by the way, as they beat the Padres earlier. But had the Giants lost yesterday, they would have been 4-plus back. They're close enough to the Diamondbacks. They're 2 back in the loss column of the Mets and the D-backs, and we'll see the Giants starting in L.A. tonight. We'll get back to them tomorrow. And again, Kershaw will go tomorrow. And the Giants have 4 in L.A., and then they come home to play the Cardinals, who are still mathematically alive, and then the Rockies. We'll see if the Giants can get it done. But whether they're in the playoffs or not, we will have everything through ESPN Radio, right through the World Series. The same applies to the NFL. Obviously, all the national games, the Raider, 49er, and Ram games as well from their networks. And no matter who's involved, all the way through the Super Bowl on Westwood One. So full coverage for you locally, regionally, and nationally. And then finally, before we wrap it up, again, remind you to stop by and see Phil today at Fashion Furniture if you can. I want to thank our pals at KFC, again, talking about the local operators in Fresno, in Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. They're doing so much to help out with the Bulldog Bread Collective. Really appreciate that. And keep in mind, they have the hot and spicy wings and potato wedges back. Very popular parts of their menu, back for a limited time, and is the ultimate fan favorite. And beyond that, they have got their Kentucky Fried Chicken sandwich, just $3.99 for a limited time. Everybody else charging more, giving you less. KFC is giving you more and still only asking $3.99 for a limited time. Stop by the local operators in Fresno, in Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Pick up the wedges, the wings, the sandwich, the buckets, the Kentucky Fried Steak, anything that you want. It's right there for you. And tell them thanks for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective. Thanks to Jackson Moore for his time. Thanks to Jorge. Phil is coming up from Fashion Furniture. Stop by and see him. And then finally, also want to thank Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe Stainless Supply, and Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. I will see you guys tomorrow with Brian Panish. Stay tuned for Phil on KFIG Fresno.